Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I would like for you to turn to Romans chapter 16. We only have two more messages from the book of Romans. We've been going verse by verse through this wonderful letter from Paul to the early church at Rome for the last 2.5 years. We've got today and the next time we gather to conclude our look at this great book. This morning we're going to be talking about the greatest mystery you and I will ever solve. I want you to pay careful attention, because the word mystery is used in the verses that we're going to read. It's a mystery that should pique your interest, and with God's help, I pray this morning you'll solve it. Let's stand together as we begin reading Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my good news or my gospel, and the preaching or proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now let me pause right there and say something about the last phrase of verse 25. The mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It's a little unfortunate that the King James Version uses the word world. In the Greek, it's the word eon. In fact, it's the same word used in Matthew 24 when the disciples came to Jesus on the Mount of Olives and they said, "Tell us, when will the temple be destroyed and what will be the sign of the end of the..." And the King James uses the word world. It's the word eon or age. In fact, what Paul is saying is this: this mystery has been kept secret for ages past. Does that make sense? And I'll explain it in just a moment. But now, this mystery is revealed or made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Thank you. You may be seated. Before we take a look at this text, word by word, phrase by phrase, it's absolutely vital that you and I understand what the mystery is that Paul is referring to. And in order to understand this text, I think it'd be good to compare some other texts that Paul wrote. In fact, there was another letter that he penned to another church in Colossae. And in this letter, we read what Paul says about this mystery. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Listen to what he says. "I have been made a minister or a preacher according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill His word. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." And here it is. This is the mystery: Christ in you, the hope of glory. A lot of times children will come to me, and I love children. Avis Ward had a book on her coffee table that talked about the importance of ministry to children in the local church. That should be our preeminent focus. And I read a few chapters and my heart was warmed. I love children, and our focus should be upon the kids of this church. But sometimes kids will come to me and they will say, "Pastor Wade, I'd like to be baptized." And I will enter into a dialogue with them, and I'm always very sensitive, because when the Lord is working, all you want to do is just encourage the kids. But I will ask them, "Why do you want to be baptized?" And invariably, many of them will say, "Because I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart." Now, I'm not trying to be cute or funny, But I will say to the young child, that's wonderful. Let me ask you a question. What would you say to me if I said, I asked Donald Duck to come into my heart? Well, they look at me, Pastor Wade, you're so silly. And I say, well, you know, I know that's a silly thing to say, but let me ask you a question. What is the difference between Jesus Christ and Donald Duck? You see, the fact of the matter is, if all we ever think of in terms of our salvation is asking Jesus Christ to come live within our hearts, we've not really solved the mystery. Because Christ in us is the mystery. But what does it mean? And of course, using that little analogy between a cartoon character, I help the young children to see that there is something very special about the person of Christ. And there's something totally different about asking Him to come into our lives than anybody else to come live within us. What's the difference? What's so special about Christ? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote about the significance of having Christ in us in Philippians chapter 3. And listen to what he says, because this corresponds to the mystery of the gospel. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, everything I have, all the possessions I have, my reputation, everything, is loss for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things, I count them as dung or rubbish. Everything I have is nothing compared to Christ. I want to be found in Him. Now listen to this next phrase. Not having my own righteousness, which comes from the law, or my obedience to the law, but to have a righteousness in me, which is through the faith of Christ. A righteousness which is of God and comes by faith. That is the mystery. For ages, civilizations, kings and kingdoms, priests and people have been looking at how they can be made right with God. The Incas sacrificed their own children. The Chaldeans gave their children to the fire god in the Valley of Hinnom in Israel. The Chinese had their ways to be made right with their Creator. For ages, men strove with all of their might to figure out how they could be right with God. But the mystery was kept hidden. Until, by the scriptures of the prophets and the commandment of God, it was made known. And the mystery was revealed. Sinners who have violated the law of God, those who've been created by the power of God who have not done what is right, can be made right with their Creator through faith in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and lived His life vicariously in the place of His people, obeying the law of God fully. Not one jot nor tittle of the law of God was not fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died at Calvary, bearing the sins of His people and the punishment of a holy God due those sins. Rose from the grave on the third day, and those who cast their soul upon Jesus Christ and receive Him into their lives receive a righteousness, a goodness that is not their own. They've not obtained it. Christ obtained it for them. But it is a righteousness that is perfect. And as a result, they are right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Do you want to be free in this life? Do you want to be free to enjoy people, to enjoy life, to enjoy living? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free to really live? You'll only be free to really live until you're ready to die. when you're ready to die and face God and know that you're right with Him because you have the righteousness of His Son, then you're ready to live. This is the mystery that was kept hidden for ages. The Chinese didn't know it. The Egyptians didn't know it. But the Jews, through the writings of the prophets, revealed Jesus Christ. And now it is made clear because God has spoken to us through His Son. Now, I want you to see three things about this mystery from our text very quickly. Number one, the understanding of this mystery only comes from the power of God. Look at our text again. Now to Him who has the power, or is able, the NIV says, to establish us in this good news, in this gospel, to Him. To Him what? Well, as I've shared with you before, Paul is an excursive writer. In other words, he'll begin to write something and there's a thought that is triggered, and he will follow that thought and write something else. In order to understand what Paul is saying, you've got to squeeze out some of the words. Take a look at it. Now to Him. Then drop down to verse 27. To Him be glory. But in between this, verses 25 and 26, till you get to 27, Paul talks about Him. Paul talks about God. What about God? To Him who alone has the power to establish you in the understanding that you are right with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory. Folks, listen to me. If you're here this morning and you have faith in Jesus Christ, you believe that His righteousness is yours and that you are right with God because of Him, and you have a freedom and a joy in life because of your relationship with Christ. If you're there this morning, it's only because of God. There is no power. There is no power in your prayers. There is no inherent power in what you pray. In fact, we were at the Church of the Nativity, and there was a tour guide who was holding his prayer beads, and he was praying. And it was almost like there was some kind of mantra in his prayers. There was some type of magical formula in the way he was praying. Folks, Southern Baptists are a little bit like that sometimes. They talk about the sinner's prayer, that there is some special formula that you pray. There is some magical words that you use in order to receive the grace of God. No, no, no. God alone has the power to give you the understanding of the gospel. God alone has the power to open your eyes to the beauty of Jesus Christ. There is no inherent power in your prayers. Now, sure, prayer taps you into the one who has the power. But if you're one of those people who think back to when you first came to faith in Christ and you're always struggling whether or not you prayed the right prayer, or you said the right thing, or you were sincere enough, you've lost sight of the gospel. Only God has the power to give you understanding of the beauty of Christ. Second, there is no inherent power in your worship rituals. Watching television this past week, I mean, you see all of these rituals that people go through, and they think that it is in the ritual that there is the favor or the grace of God that is imparted. No! No! I was reading the article in Newsweek magazine regarding the Pope. What a good man. But there's no inherent mystical power in his office. There's power in God alone. Paul says, to Him, to God, who has the power to establish you in my gospel, the good news that I have written to you, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. To him be glory. Friend, if you're having trouble resting in the person of Jesus Christ, if you go through life bound with guilt, plagued with shame, because you've never understood what it means to receive the righteousness of God and to be viewed by God as perfectly righteous because you have the righteousness of His Son, if you've never come to an understanding of this good news, why don't you call out to the only one who has the power to open your eyes to it? Second, this understanding of the gospel is not only due to the power of God. As a result, it's a privilege of the grace of God. In other words, if you have come to an understanding that your righteousness is in Christ and you are right with God through faith in Him, this is all a privilege of the favor and grace of God to you. This is what our text says. Our text tells us that the Lord revealed this mystery to us two ways. Number one, He revealed this mystery of Christ in us through the writings of the prophets, verse 26. For ages, Jesus Christ and His person was hidden. For ages, the mystery of being right with God through faith in the Messiah was veiled. But along came the Jews, and through the sovereignty of God, He anointed some of the prophets, and they began to write about Jesus Christ. One of my favorite studies of all time is a study from the Old Testament, the writings of the prophets of the Old Testament, as they speak of the Son of God. In terms of the sacrifices, whether it's the burnt offering, the trespass offering, the meal offering, or the tabernacle pictures Jesus Christ, the outside covered with badger skins. The scripture says there was nothing of Him that would cause a person to look upon Him and marvel. But underneath, you had the fabric of deity. The tabernacle pictures Christ. The sacrifices pictures Christ. The Bible says when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He was walking on the road to Emmaus. And there were two people who didn't recognize who He was. And they began to tell Him all that had happened to Christ in Jerusalem. And they said to Jesus, "Have you not heard this? Where have you been? Under a rock? Do you not know what's been going on?" And the Bible says that Jesus took the scriptures and opened up to the writings of the prophets, and He showed Himself to them. Folks, the fact that you have the Old Testament scriptures and you learn about Jesus Christ through them is all an act of the grace of God. And I am looking forward to our study in Genesis, which we will begin in about 3 weeks, because in every portion of that great book, we see Jesus Christ. Through the writings of the prophets, the mystery of Christ was made known. But He says there's a second way this mystery was made known. It was through the commandment of God. Verse 26. The commandment of God. Now, what does He mean by this? Well, it could be one of two things. First, it could be the Great Commission. When Jesus Christ commanded His disciples to go ye into all the nations, teaching men the good news. And I think that when Paul speaks that this good news is now declared to all the nations in verse 26, it could be an allusion to the Great Commission. And folks, we've been commanded by God to take Christ to the nations by teaching people about Christ. This is one of the reasons why we better be careful as the modern church. We had better be careful that we don't lose sight of our message. Too often churches try to tickle the ears of the listeners and they want to talk about everything to do with how to live the Christian life and how to be a good mom and a good dad. And all these things are wonderful and so on, and finances, and all these things are good. Oh, but the focus of our ministry should be Jesus Christ. We have been commanded to teach people Christ. Oh, but this commandment could be a second thing. This commandment could be that commandment of God within the hearts of men. For you see, I want you to think of it. I don't know when you first came to faith in Christ and when you came to utter despair to try to meet the law yourself, when you gave up trying to measure up. I don't know when you first understood the good news of Jesus Christ, but something happened within you. Paul describes it in the book of Corinthians. Listen to it. He says, the same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath commanded for light to shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian this morning, the same God who said, light, and there was light, shined in your hearts and said, light, and you saw the beauty of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, what Paul is saying in our text is this: to him who has the ability to establish you in this good news of believing that you are right with God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This good news was hidden for ages. It was not revealed until God, through the prophets and their writings, revealed to us Christ, and through His commandment to go to all the nations and to shine the light of Christ in our hearts, made known this gospel. To Him be the glory for our obedience of the faith. See, that's the last thing that I want to talk with you about this morning from our text. Not only is this understanding of the gospel due to the power of God, not only is it a privilege of the grace of God, but this understanding of the gospel or the good news is a pattern to follow our entire lives. Folks, I believe the greatest phrase, at least one of them, it's in my top five of all of the book of Romans, is the last phrase there of verse 26. It's the little phrase, the obedience of faith. You know, a lot of times when people go to church, what they want to hear is the pastor to tell them what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and so on. Or they want to hear the pastor make them feel guilty or shame them for not doing what they should have done when they should have done it. And in fact, a lot of people are comfortable with that. People want to be told what to do and how to do it. You know why? Because people feel really comfortable being the captain of their own ship. When they can get a handle on something and walk out of church and saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I commit, I vow to God, this is what I want to do. They feel really good about themselves. The only problem is this: if they actually do it, then they get proud of the fact that they're doing it. Or if they don't do it, then they feel guilty for not doing it, and they shame out, and they check out. That's not true Christianity. When you come to church, what you ought to hear is a message about Jesus Christ. Your eyes ought to be directed to Christ. And as a result, when you look to Christ, you ought to cast your soul upon Him in what is called the obedience of faith. A lot of people, when they talk about their salvation, talk about it in terms of past experience. Oh, I was saved when I was six. Or God saved me years ago. And it's all about the past. Folks, if you want to speak of your deliverance in biblical terms, your deliverance is daily. It is casting your soul upon Christ daily. Is your marriage struggling? Venture to Christ. Are you plagued with your own failures? Go to Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. Obey the faith of the gospel. Look to Him. Because everything you need is found in Him. In fact, as the good old doctor once said, faith is nothing else but the soul's venture. It ventures to Christ in opposition to all legal terrors. It ventures upon Christ in opposition to our guiltiness. It ventures for Christ in opposition to all difficulties and discouragements. Folks, I don't know what else I can say except this. Enjoy life. Love your wife. Love your family. Love your job. Love each day because you are free. You have been set free by the power of God. You are right with Him and you are ready to meet Him. And it has nothing to do with what you've done or will ever do. It has everything to do with what Christ has done. Don't talk to me about your life. Don't visit with me about everything you've done to make yourself ready to meet God. Talk to me about Christ. That's what Paul has done in his letter to the Romans. And as he draws it to a conclusion, he says, "Now to Him." Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me tell you about Him. He is the God, the only one who has the power to establish you in this good news I've been telling you about. This good news, the proclamation of Jesus Christ, which was hidden for ages, but has now been made known through the writings of the prophets and the commandment of God to all nations for the obedience of faith to Him. And Him alone be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And there are 10,000 joys in understanding this great mystery.